Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Todd Urey here, Pharmacy Podcast. This is the first stat, PPN stat, Pharmacy Podcast stat. Something's come to our attention, my attention, that I want to talk to you about: the looming Walmart pharmacy layoffs. And we're going to get to that. We're also going to talk about PBM drug pricing and PBM reform. Some things just happened today. Today, June 26th, 2019. I want to welcome no stranger to the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Ken Sternfeld, RxVIP Care Concierge. I'm excited about what you're doing, Ken. Welcome to the first PPN stat.
I'm excited. It's like a Z-Pack when you got to fill it right away. I love it. Let's talk.
And we have Dr. Crystal Cruz, who is also working with RxVIP, a concierge pharmacist, one of my personal industry friends, and just incredible amounts of insight. And I think this is the first time that we're doing anything like this, Crystal. So welcome to the program.
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited about this.
All right. We got to jump into this. Today's Wednesday, so I lose track of days. I'm just too busy. So today's Wednesday, and on Monday, I started picking up some tweets from people that the Pharmacy Podcast follows, and they were talking about Walmart Pharmacy and being laid off. And so I go to Google, nothing on Google, nothing on the news. I start poking around. Twitter is amazing because you get information immediately from individuals that it might be happening to. So someone should have, you know, started hashtag Walmart rumor or something. But regardless, the next day, Tuesday, yesterday, it increases to the point that now I'm interested in wondering, is this, you know, something that's actually happening? And according to the layoff.com, which is a website that's like a chat board that's really reserved for everything and anything surrounding the subject of layoffs. There's a thread that says Walmart layoffs, and there is a tremendous amount of traffic, post after post after post, with pharmacists saying that yes, they have been fired. They've been brought up on issues that were very strange in nature. They've been just let go because they make too much money after 16 years of service. And this is no longer a rumor per se, unless someone is doing an elaborate work with a message board. But have you guys heard about this?
Well, I'll speak towards it, because when there's smoke, there's fire. You know, we get in touch with a lot of pharmacists who are calling us constantly to say, what are you doing and how can I get involved? And, you know, you always ask about what they're doing. And I, too, over the last couple of days, got a couple. But, you know, everybody's always unhappy. And, you know, you think, oh, you know, I heard that there may be layoffs. And sometimes it's inherent where people just have, they're afraid of their own shadow. But I believe this is not fake news. I believe that there will be actual thousands of, you know, 1,000 plus pharmacists on the street in some short order. And I just think it's really sad, and it's going to create a situation that these people are going to have some problems getting other positions.
Crystal, what's your thoughts? Because I know you were in the trenches too, so you know it firsthand.
Yes. So I'm going to give you guys my thought process behind this, coming from the corporate world and being in a position where I personally had to lay off pharmacists. And it usually happens around this time of year. The reason why is because there's a ton of new graduates coming in, and we used to do something called succession planning. So these decisions were made a long time ago by corporate. And what it does, it basically makes room for new hires that are newly grad pharmacists, newly licensed, who are hungry for the position and who, like many of these pharmacists are stating, are not making or will not be making as much money as some of these senior pharmacists. So it's really nothing new in the pharmacy world, in the corporate world. It just doesn't happen with such a significant number. And I think we see it now more just because of the access to social media and individuals really voicing what's going on with their positions.
So before I jump into the third part of our subject that I forgot to tell our audience about, being that this is a new segment, and that'll be the excuse, and that is controlling your own destiny. And before I get into controlling your own destiny, which I'm going to feature some insight from Ken, let's talk about something that I think is part of this, and Crystal, to kind of build upon what you're saying. I think what you're saying is obviously the case because you have experience in this and you understand it from an insider. You also understand it because of your incredibly deep business background. So you kind of see some things in cycle. But I don't know if you're going to call this a conspiracy theory, but I think PBM reform is coming. And I think it's going to change a lot in pharmacy. It's also going to change a lot of major, larger corporate decisions who have insight and data on things that we don't as the common people and as the as industry that is the ebb and flow of major strategic decisions that come from PBMs, come from insurance companies. And there might be some writing on the wall that we could look deeper into to understand with this, but I don't think this is, in my opinion, I don't think this is just a cycle. I think this is something that is going to stand the industry up and get people thinking about their careers. And really, which is why I want to talk to my listeners today, because I love you guys. It's all about the pharmacist, which is ultimately all about the patient. Controlling your own destiny. Ken, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So let's talk to the listeners about this.
Well, you know, I needed to control my own destiny because I was one of those pharmacists who was spoken about in the corporate boardroom as someone who needed to be replaced. And here I was, a two-time Paragon winner, back-to-back, part of the Emerging Leader Program, and I suggested that I needed to step down for medical reasons, no other reason, because I couldn't physically do it. I had bilateral hip and knee surgery. That's enough for a pharmacist, and I wasn't in a position to go all around the district. But by stepping down, and again, this is no, like Crystal says, this happens every day. They needed someone to replace Ken Sternfeld, but they also wanted to create an environment for Ken Sternfeld to be so unhappy that he would leave. But I was very happy. I loved being a pharmacist. I still love being a pharmacist. So I needed to know my rights. I needed to know what could be done and what couldn't be done. And my only comment about taking control of your own career is know your rights. Know that if someone comes in and tells you that they want to fire you, they better have a reason and let them write it down. Let them tell you what that reason is. You know, there's an employee handbook out there. You know, read it. Know what your rights are. Control your own destiny. You know, here I was, an emerging leader who all of a sudden became a submerging leader because of their choice. I was not a different pharmacist. And there's no accusation. There's no, you know, innuendo. This is a reality, to Crystal's point. There were, I think, in my district, 18 new pharmacy graduates coming out, okay? In a district that had 18 people. Well, where are those people going to go? How are they going to put them in place? They're going to make life miserable for people who say, you know what, I just don't need this anymore. Well, I needed it. I was 50 some odd years old. I didn't have another place to hang my hat. You know, I needed to be a pharmacist and I didn't want to get fired and I didn't do anything to even attempt to come close to getting fired. But don't let them, you said something, Todd, early on that they're coming up with crazy reasons to let people go. Don't be hoodwinked by crazy reasons. Ask your supervisor exactly. And by the way, if you're firing me because I got an 82, are you firing everybody else in your district who got an 82, or is it just me? And I'm just using that as an example. Take control of your own destiny. Look in the mirror. Nobody's going to take care of your career and your profession and your livelihood more than you.
It's a great point, and I agree with you. I see changes in other parts of the industry. I see technology companies joining forces and mergers. And so, I mean, there's plenty of writing on the wall. And with that comes the need for innovation and people that believe in change, which I think is happening at the right time in pharmacy, because healthcare has to change anyway because of our top heavy environment of healthcare in this country. You know, Ken and Crystal, we've, the three of us have talked, I've talked by myself with both of you. What is an option for pharmacists that we know very well, working with independent pharmacy owners and pharmacy students and people that have been in big chain pharmacy for long enough that they know they don't like it and they don't want to build their career just on that. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with big chain retail pharmacy. That people need pharmacists. So that's going to continue in some variants. But there's the pharmacist out there who wants more. And we've talked about the concierge pharmacist. I want you to share a little bit. We're going to wrap this up quick because we promised the listeners that we'll keep it short. But I want to hear a little bit about the latest on the concierge pharmacist initiatives.
I'm going to let Crystal take that ball, because so much of my voice, it comes from passion and a need to do it. Crystal, I'd love Crystal to take the ball, because she is, in my opinion, the perfect concierge pharmacist who advanced her career. She wasn't fired. She left because she wanted more. And I think that that's the message that Crystal and what we're trying to convey to everyone, no matter what stage you are. So Crystal, tell the listeners what it is and why concierge pharmacy is something that you really embrace.
Sure. You know, I did take control of my own destiny, and I made that choice by leaving the corporate world, which, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about it, because it was a huge learning experience for me. But I needed to connect to my roots again. I needed to be that provider. I needed to be that pharmacist that took care of my patients and had an impact on their health. And joining RxVIP and being part of the development of this solution as a concierge pharmacist is where my sweet spot is. So I'm really, really excited to tell everyone about the solution that we have for pharmacists and for students of pharmacy that allows us to seamlessly deliver and be paid for the professional services that we provide. We are currently looking for pharmacists to be part of this movement, and we're looking for pharmacists who have that passion in wanting to improve the patient's health and taking control of their own destiny. So if Todd would allow me to, I do have some additional information that we could possibly post where they could apply and learn more about this position and to be part of this movement. So I'm truly excited to talk about that.
Of course. Yep. Anything we can do to get the messaging out, big supporter of this movement. I'm seeing it make an impact on outcomes, just the stories that we've heard so far, and also obviously close to my heart, the opioid epidemic. So yes.
Todd, let me add something, because this is not a new initiative. About 3 years ago, the supermarket chains here in Long Island closed. It was Walbaum's, not Walgreens, Walbaum's, ShopRite, and everyone like this Walmart situation, it came out of left field. All of a sudden, they just closed, and you had veteran pharmacists out in the marketplace and looking for jobs. And we ran an ad, and I call out for in-pharmacy jobs. I didn't know the Pharmacy Podcast Network, nation the way I do now, and I would have gone there if I knew. But we ran an ad, and we got over 1,630 resumes for people who were looking for jobs and people who didn't even know what a concierge pharmacist was. And you know what? Between us girls, I wasn't sure what it was, because it was evolving. But we looked and we spoke. I must have spoken to I don't know, hundreds of pharmacists, and everyone was blindsided. And they were into the market, flooded. This is not something new. What Crystal's talking about is we're just gonna ask you to talk to us for 15, 20 minutes. We'll learn about you. You'll learn about us. It may not be right for everybody, but you talk about technology. The company who is the backbone of this concierge approach to healthcare is a multi-million-dollar publicly traded company who believes in pharmacists. And they want the pharmacists to collaborate with physicians in their office. They want pharmacists to be in their communities, to do clinics, to reach the patient directly. They want to pay the pharmacist for their professional services so they can practice at the height of their license. I don't know what moon or star I was under, or Crystal was under, or Jason, or RxVIP, to have this company come to us and say, we want you to be part of this paradigm shift in the way a pharmacist and a healthcare provider. They didn't even look at us as pharmacists. They looked at us as a hub, as a centerpiece, as the key part of the healthcare continuum, because people can't afford their medication. People die from their medication as much as they stay healthy sometimes. You need a pharmacist. So we're passionate about it, and we're very concerned about the profession, even with all its changes, that the independent pharmacy owner can't survive. We're going to focus on that independent pharmacy owner because he or she needs to survive. My father was a pharmacist and owned an independent store, and I was 14 when he had to close it up and walk away, not for PBM reasons, so it's not that, but that community lost the care provider when he closed that store. We can't let that happen. So, you know, you have our commitment, Todd, always have, always will, to bring value-based solutions to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation, because we are your friend, and the students and pharmacists who embrace this, we will give you all the support, all the direction, all the training, all the guidance to be successful. Your success translates to the success of our profession.
So Ohio recent efforts to address the pharmacy benefit manager practice has this implication, this domino effect, which is happening to other states for state and federal reform. And we, I've been reading the Pharmacy Times article that came out today, as well as the Journal of American Medical Association. You know, the story of the PBM where it was in the 80s compared to where it is today, it's a completely different, very intrusive business model to 25,000 plus privately owned pharmacies throughout the country. Even according to studies that audits have been done, examine the impact, for example, of Ohio Medicaid switch in 2011 from a fee for service model to a managed care model, and the effects of that. And the review really shows that Ohio's audit showed a 39 million drug transactions that meant $415 million annually to a system. So we all know that if one state's doing it and having success within the audit to show savings for a Medicaid system, we all know what's coming. I expect every state to jump on something, which is going to force the way that PBMs today work. And there are some, you know, there's some of the out of the box thinkers, like a sponsor of our network called SIPN, Self-Insure Pharmacy Networks. But there's a bunch of the larger ones that are definitely going to have to make changes. What's your insights on that, Crystal, just from your background in business?
Yeah, I guess, you know, just looking at the changes happening in Ohio, we're going to see it occur in other places. It's just that, you know, we need to see it happen in one place before it occurs somewhere else. We can't, you know, the way the other states are, they don't take these risks until it's proven. So I believe that change is going to come soon.
Change is good, Todd. You know it. You're entrepreneurial. You're forward thinking. Change is not the enemy. You know, the world has to change, because to get better, you have to change. And you have to embrace the change and be part of it. You know, be an advocate for change, whatever that means. Things are happening in our world differently today than they happened when I was growing up, when you were growing up, and they're going to change when our kids grow up. So embrace that. And follow it and be an advocate for change. And then be part of making that change a reality. You know, if something isn't happening today, don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Be part of that change. You know, follow the industry, but lead the industry. That's, in my opinion, what we all, as advocates for our profession, need to do. Don't just stand by. You know, come on the Pharmacy Podcast Show. Talk about it. Listen to the host. Be involved. Change is not bad. But if you let the change happen and you do nothing about it, you will be someone walks up to you to say, I'm sorry, you don't have a job anymore. You know, I'm sorry, you're not right for our position. Don't let that happen. Take control of your life. Take control of your profession. One voice through the Pharmacy Podcast Network touches so many areas of pharmacy. It's not like we're just talking to one sector. We're talking to all sectors.
Right. So
be a part of the game. Be a part of the process.
All right. Thank you guys for making this time so quickly. We put this together in a matter of 3 hours. So thank you so much for being part of the first PPN stat. And we hope to obviously have both of you back, Dr. Crystal Cruz, Ken Sternfeld, RX VIP, concierge pharmacist. I love the movement and I'm your greatest fan. So with that, peace out.